May, Week 3, Monday, 1, Victoria Day. In Canada, the celebration of Victoria Day occurs every year on Monday, prior to May 25th. It is the official celebration in Canada of the birthdays of Queen Victoria and Queen Elizabeth II. Victoria Day was established as a holiday in Canada West, now Ontario, in 1845, and became a national holiday in 1901. Before Victoria Day became a national holiday, people had celebrated Empire Day, beginning in the 1890s as Victoria approached her Diamond Jubilee in 1897. Victoria, Queen of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland, and Empress of India, was born on May 24, 1819. She ascended the throne after the death of her uncle George IV in 1837, when she was only 18. She ruled until her death in 1901, when her son Edward VII became King of England.
Tuesday. 2. Does anyone want a nice clean plate? Reading. Peter was 10 years old. One day his friend Paul said to him, "I'm going to have a birthday party on Saturday, Peter. Can you come?" Peter asked his mother, and she said, "Yes, you can go." She phoned Paul's mother to tell her. Before Peter went to the party on Saturday afternoon, his mother said to him, "Now, Peter, don't forget to be polite. Don't ask for food. Wait until someone gives it to you." "All right, Mom," Peter answered, and he went to Paul's house on his bicycle. There were a lot of children at the party. They played together for an hour, and then Paul's mother gave them some food. But she forgot to give Peter any. He waited politely for a few minutes, and then he held his plate up in the air and said loudly, "Does anyone want a nice clean plate?"
Wednesday, 3, On Leadership. Reading. What is leadership? Its qualities are difficult to define, but they are not so difficult to identify. Leaders don't force other people to go along with them. They bring them along. Leaders get commitment from others by giving it themselves, by building an environment that encourages creativity, and by operating with honesty and fairness. Leaders demand much of others, but also give much of themselves. They are ambitious, not only for themselves, but also for those who work with them. They seek to attract, retain, and develop other people to their full abilities. Good leaders aren't long rangers. They recognize that an organization's strategies for success require the combined talents and efforts of many people. Leadership is the catalyst for transforming those talents into results. Leaders know that when there are two opinions on an issue, one is not bound to be wrong. They recognize that hustle and rush are the allies of superficiality. They are open to new ideas, but they explore their ramifications thoroughly. Successful leaders are emotionally and intellectually oriented to the future, not wedded to the past. They have a hunger to take responsibility, to innovate, and to initiate. They are not contented with merely taking care of what's already there. They want to move forward to create something new. Leaders provide answers as well as direction, offer strength as well as dedication, and speak from experience as well as understanding of the problems they face and the people they work with. Leaders are flexible rather than dogmatic. They believe in unity rather than conformity, and they strive to achieve consensus out of conflict. Leadership is all about getting people consistently to give their best, helping them to grow to their fullest potential, and motivating them to work toward a common good. Leaders make the right things happen when they're supposed to. A good leader, an effective leader, is one who has respect. Respect is something you have to have in order to get. A leader who has respect for other people at all levels of an organization, for the work they do, and for their abilities, aspirations, and needs, will find that respect is returned, and all concerned will be motivated to work together.
Thursday. 4. You can do anything. Reading. Many years ago, my dad was diagnosed with a terminal heart condition. He was put on permanent disability and was unable to work at a steady job. He would be fine for quite a while, but would then fall suddenly ill and have to be admitted to the hospital. He wanted to do something to keep himself busy, so he decided to volunteer at the local children's hospital. My dad loved kids. It was the perfect job for him. He ended up working with the terminally and critically ill children. He would talk to them and play with them and do arts and crafts with them. Sometimes he would lose one of his kids. In certain instances, he would tell the grieving parents of these children that he would soon be with their children in heaven and that he would take care of them until they got there. He would also ask the parent if there was a message they would like to send with him for their child. My dad's assurances seemed to help parents with their grieving. One of his kids was a girl who had been admitted with a rare disease that paralyzed her from the neck down. I don't know the name of the disease or what the prognosis usually is, but I do know that it was very sad for a girl around 8 or 9 years old. She couldn't do anything, and she was very depressed. My dad decided to try to help her. He started visiting her in her room, bringing paints, brushes, and paper. He stood the paper up against a backing, put the paintbrush in his mouth, and began to paint. He didn't use his hands at all. Only his head would move. He would visit her whenever he could and paint for her. All the while, he would tell her, "See, you can do anything you set your mind to." Eventually, she began to paint using her mouth, and she and my dad became friends. Soon after, the little girl was discharged because the doctors felt there was nothing else they could do for her. My dad also left the children's hospital for a little while because he became ill. Sometime later, after my dad had recovered and returned to work, he was at the volunteer counter in the lobby of the hospital. He noticed the front doors open. In came the little girl who had been paralyzed. Only this time she was walking. She ran straight over to my dad and hugged him really tight. She gave my dad a picture she had done using her hands. At the bottom it read, "Thank you for helping me walk." My dad would cry every time he told us this story, and so would we. He would say sometimes love is more powerful than doctors. And my dad, who died just a few months after the little girl gave him the picture, loved every single child in that hospital.
Friday, 5, A Psalm of Life. Tell me not in mournful numbers, life is but an empty dream. For the soul is dead that slumbers, and things are not what they seem. Life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul. Not enjoyment and not sorrow is our destined end or way, but to act that much tomorrow find us farther than today. Art is long and time is fleeting, and our hearts, though stout and brave, still like muffled drums are beating funeral marches to the grave. In the world's broad field of battle, in the bivouac of life, be not like dumb driven cattle, be a hero in the strife. Trust no future, howe'er pleasant. Let the dead past bury its dead. Act, act in the living present. Heart within and God overhead. Lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime, and departing leave behind us footprints on the sands of time. Footprints that perhaps another, sailing o'er life's solemn main, a forlorn and shipwrecked brother, seeing, shall take heart again. Let us then be up and doing, with a heart for any fate, still achieving, still pursuing, learn to labor and to wait.